Chapter 6, Ezra chapter 6, Old Testament. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. If you get to Job and Psalms, you've gone too far. Ezra chapter 6. So every now and then there's this company that sends me pens in the mail. They want us to buy a whole bunch for our church, so I usually got a pretty good supply of pens. I get a couple of these a year. And I couldn't figure out why this one wouldn't close. I kept pushing on and it wouldn't close. It's the wrong kind of pen. It doesn't do that. Ezra chapter 6, we're going to look at particularly verse 14. Now you got to remind, I got to remind you of something. There are 10 chapters in Ezra. We're only just past the halfway point. And there's a message or a lesson there. They're about to finish. In fact, in this passage, they finish building the temple. Oh, good, we're finished. Everything must be over. No, that's when the work really begins. I've only overseen one building project, and I was very aware of the fact that once it was over, that doesn't mean everyone can relax, but everyone tends to think you can. Nope, that's when you really got to go to work, because now you got a new building to work with, and so the fact that they finished the temple doesn't mean that they're done serving God. There's a lot to do now that the temple is done. So it is exciting though when you get things done, isn't it? And the subject in this chapter that keeps coming out is joy. Now, just as an example, today. Mr. Gonzalez had done all the hard part, and so I got to do the last little step, which was to put a switch in a little plate and stick it on the wall and connect a couple of things and plug it in. And I got a certain amount of joy in knowing that that projector screen now works. It's something that's finished, and you have success, and you're okay, good, we accomplished something. But you keep on going forward, amen? On a Sunday morning, somebody gets saved, and you have joy when someone gets saved. But we're not done yet, there's more. And so that's what you see here in this chapter. But we're going to talk about that joy just a little bit. If you look at it, verse 16 in Ezra chapter 6, it says at the end of the verse that they kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. And then in verse 22, they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful. Can God make you joyful? Amen. Better than the world can. Better than you can. God's good at that. He knows how to give us joy, and joy is something that we need. The month is interesting. Look at verse 15. It says, "This house was finished on the third day of the month Adar." Now, I know none of you study the Hebrew calendar very much. Carlos, anything in Bible college in the Hebrew calendar yet? Nope. Now, the Hebrew calendar is a really mysterious little guy. In fact, there are two Hebrew calendars. There is the civil calendar, which governs governmental issues, and then there is the religious or spiritual calendar. And all I can tell you about Adar is a couple of things that are kind of exciting here, and you'll see it in a second. But Adar is the month between what we would call, it's in last half of March, first half of April, right before. Anybody want to take a guess? Right before what we call Easter. Right before the Passover. And what is the Passover? It's a picture of Christ. Amen? And the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on that very weekend. And so Adar is right before that. In the Hebrew calendar, Adar is the happiest and most joyous month. In fact, here's the motto. Here's the Hebrew motto for the month Adar. When Adar comes, joy is increased. And so this is partly because that they have finished the temple in that month. But look at the timing. They just got done just in time to celebrate the Passover in their new temple. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which goes along with that. And so isn't God's timing good? And where the joy comes from the Passover is to remember this. Because you have trusted Christ as your Savior, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins, because you know that when you received Christ, you were saved from hell, saved for eternity with Him. That's joy. Amen? And nothing can take that away from you. So let me ask you to stand. We're going to read a few things here in Ezra chapter 6, and then take a look at this joy that they had because they finished the temple. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 and just remind you what's going on. Don't forget, the king just wrote back and told the enemies, knock it off, leave them alone, help them, in fact, financially. And so these enemies are mentioned in verse 13, Tattenai, the governor, on this side the river, and Shethar-Boznai and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. And the enemy was turned into an asset when that happened. Verse 14, the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of this house of God with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together, all of them were pure, and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity, and for their brethren the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of the captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, knowing our salvation is sure gives us joy. Knowing that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and watches over us gives us joy. And seeing the things that you've done for us gives us joy. But Lord, we know that on any given night, this one included, that there are some people that are still facing trials, they still face difficulty, and they're still waiting for you to do things on their behalf. But even then, it gives us joy that we can have confidence in you. And God, tonight, as we look at these few verses and understand a few things about them, help us to see the kind of God that you are, not just for those captives returning to Israel, but for each of us. And thank you that you have saved us from our sins and that you have allowed us to be here tonight. And God, we pray you just put everything out of our mind except you and the Word of God and what's happening here in this chapter. I pray you would be with each of the prayer requests that were mentioned tonight. And we thank you that we have the privilege of bringing them before you. And we have the joy of knowing that you're a God that loves us and cares for us and cares for our needs. Bless our time now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not sure what gets me more excited. I think probably when the king wrote the letter to the enemies and said, leave them alone. I like that. I like winning in court. That's kind of fun. But isn't it good to get the work done? And how many of you have ever been involved in a building project where the church built a new building? And you had a dedication Sunday? And we did that in Maryland, and I remember that. And just the excitement of not having any more meetings with the builder or any more meetings with the bank or any more meetings with the fire department or any more meetings with the county or whatever. And it was all there, and like I said, now there's more work to be done. And you can see that they had some more work to be done that they've done here in this chapter, and then there's some more things that are going to happen in chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. But it is exciting to see something accomplished for God, and especially because God's the one that did it. I could ask the question, can you, in your life, can you see some things God has done? Oh, amen. Recently? I think so, yeah. And when we see God at work, that just gets us excited. It gives us joy. The story here is pretty straightforward. They finished the temple. They've got the endorsement of the king, and then they conduct this dedication service. And in verse 17, the Bible talks about that just a little bit. They had sacrificed a good size offering there, 200 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs. Not nearly so big as what Solomon did, but the biggest thing that's happened to them in a long time. And folks, we're not in the business of trying to do it bigger and do it better. We're in the business of trying to do what God wants us to do. But the sacrifice, as always, these animal sacrifices are just a reminder to them that one day the Lamb of God would come and pay for the sins of the world. To us, it's already happened. And we look back at that, whereas they were looking forward to that. And then they are cognizant of their sin and the sins of the tribes of Israel, and so they sacrifice the 12 he-goats as well. And it is sad, and I've got a soft spot in my heart for animals. It is sad to see an animal suffer, but that pales in comparison to how Christ had to suffer for us. And God knows what he's doing. Don't ever question God. You say, I don't know why God would cause those animals to suffer. He's got a reason for that. I don't understand everything. I just know this. You can trust God. So they joyously conduct this dedication. They establish the service of the temple in verse 18. And this is the first time they've been able to do this for 70 years, over 70 years. They have been in exile. They had no temple. They had no opportunity to serve God in this way. Do you take it for granted that you have an opportunity to serve God, or do you thank God for being able to? Amen? To have a church to go to. I'm telling you the truth, tonight there are some people up in Salt Lake City, and they're not sure what to do because their church has been attacked in a terrible way, and they're kind of homeless right now. And I just want all of us to remember, it's a privilege to have a church to come to. I like the air conditioning, I like the building, but most of all, I like the people. And thank you all for being here tonight. And every time you are here, it's an encouragement to the Lord and it's an encouragement to us. They've reestablished that service. They've gotten back to where God wanted them to be all along. And when things aren't right, you do what you can to make them right and get them back where they ought to be. That's what they did. They kept the Passover. And Leviticus 23:5 was the command. In the 14th day of the first month, that's the month after Adar, at even is the Lord's Passover. And they paused and they remembered. Way long time ago, they were captives in Egypt, powerless, subdued by the Egyptian army, unable to leave because they would not be allowed to even leave the city, much less to travel across the wilderness. And then God let them go. And you and I, one day, we were lost in our sins, and God let us go. And God saved us from that. Just a couple of quick thoughts. It won't be too long. And I got to quit looking at that clock back there because we'll be here till midnight if I use that clock. But why were they joyful? Now, just stop once again and talk about joy. What makes you joyful? When I was a little boy, I was walking across the porch one time. I looked down and found a $5 bill stuck in the ice. And I picked it up and I was happy. That was a long time ago. I forgot all about that. Happiness comes and goes, doesn't it? Joy is more abiding. Joy is that thing that lasts. And it stays with you. And you remember so long ago, we heard a testimony tonight about a new baby being born. I can still remember when my first daughter was born and the joy that we felt. Because there's always that uncertainty. You know, it's like we were praying for, Miss Gray, Mrs. Gray. You know, the birth of a child has a lot of possible complications. And to have that child come out happy and healthy and safe, and mom happy and healthy and safe, it's a great cause for joy. And I can still remember that to this day. And there are things in your life that have brought you joy, haven't they? I hope, if you were to make a list of those, I hope the thing at the top of the list would be when you got saved. Do you remember when you got saved? Can you remember that? And the way it felt? And I can still remember it. I don't know why it sticks in my mind, but laying in bed that night, looking up at that my parents had a little small house, but in the hallway there was a light on the ceiling. I'd lay in bed and look at that light, and I was thinking, wow, I'm going to tell people I got saved. I'm going to tell people that I'm not going to go to hell anymore. And most of the time when folks get saved, that's one of the first things they think about is, I want to tell somebody. That's as good as it gets. They had finished what God had given them to do, and here's why they were joyful. First of all, they had obeyed God's command. You know, when you're obedient, you can have joy, but when you're disobedient, it takes your joy away, doesn't it? That's part of the proof you're a Christian. When you disobey God, there's this loss of joy. Being right with God gives us joy. You think, I'm right with God. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. When God looks at you, He smiles on you. He doesn't have to chasten you. What He can do is He can work with you, and He can use you, and He can bless you, and He can give you fruit, and He can answer your prayers. Isn't that a great source of joy to know that you can talk to God and God hears your prayers? I am absolutely perplexed. I've done a lot of, you know, you think Google has the answer to all your questions, don't you? Well, if you do, you need to read some more. No, we got to figure out how to get a projector up there that's going to be controlled by the sound booth and going to project up to that screen and connect to our sound system and all that. And I do have a degree in engineering, but I'm not sure how to do it. But God knows how to do it. And He'll point me to somebody that knows how to do it. And I've already got a couple of good leads from some people here that have given me some phone numbers. I've got some messages out to some folks. But don't you like it when you get the answer and you know it came from God? I like my friend George Rennick that used to work on my car. And he'd say to me, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with your car, but God does. And He'll show me. And George could fix a car. That's the way we ought to approach life. Amen? We don't know, but God does. And so what are you worried about? I don't know what's the I don't know the answer to the medical question. The doctor may or may not. I found out recently doctors don't know as much as some people think they do. But God knows. Amen? I went to a doctor yesterday and it didn't cost me anything, but my insurance company paid that person some money to tell me what I already knew, which is, they don't know what's going on. They ran a scan and they couldn't find anything wrong. And so that's good news. At least they didn't find anything worse. But folks, God knows all the details. And doesn't it give you joy to know you've got a God that you can trust and they'll take care of you? You do have a God like that, right? And if when you're obeying Him, now the pathway is clear. There's nothing between you and God, and you can just trust Him. And obedience brings us joy. Finishing the task ultimately gave them some joy. But look what really happened in verse 22. It says, they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. And that's that remembrance of how God delivered them from Egypt and how He delivered them since then. And, oh, by the way, is God done delivering us? No, because you know what? Sure as the world, something else is coming along. The devil's not done yet, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so you've seen God deliver before, and it gives you joy to know God can deliver and will deliver again. And so now it says in verse 22, because you could say, the Lord had made them joyful. Has God made you joyful? Can He? What God can do inside of us, I can't explain. But He can. And I don't know how people get along without Him. But they try. Mr. Mendez, I won't tell you the details, but he came in tonight and told me he saw something on the way to church of person acting violently, and you think to yourself, that's so sad that someone might fall to a place to where they become violent and even fall into a rage or whatever. Folks, we have a God that lives in us that keeps us from those kind of things. Verse 22, so the Lord had made them joyful, and look at this, turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them. I know we're awfully anxious, maybe not the right word, but I can't think of a better one, about the state of our government right now, because just to put it honestly, there's some people in power that are godless. They won't admit that, but they are. When you are running headlong to try to allow more babies to be murdered in the womb, that's godless. Amen? Amen. And when you're running headlong to try to protect the rights of people that are an abomination to God at the expense of Christians, that's godless. And that's just tip of the iceberg, folks. But that's okay, because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Amen? And you know what I get a kick out of, I think you do too, is when the enemy can't do a thing because God won't let him. And God just takes good care of us. And there's a story. I wish I could think of the man's name. About 1000 A.D., there was this man, and he was traveling around Eastern Europe preaching the gospel, and the Catholic Church hated him. And they pursued this man for years and years and years and years and years, and he just kept on traveling around preaching the gospel. And they never did catch him. And then finally, when he was an old man, God let him catch him. And I know why. So that man could die a martyr's death and glorify Christ and have great rewards in heaven. We have men right now we have a man in Iraq. Can you believe that? Even soldiers don't want to go to Iraq. And this man has gone there with his family at, so to speak, his expense, although the truth is the churches have sent him there. And why on earth would anybody do that? Because some soul in Iraq is going to be spared from hell. Amen. And that's worth it. You say, well, what's going to happen to that fellow? Nothing God doesn't allow. Amen? What's going to happen to you and to me? Nothing God doesn't allow. What's going to happen in that situation in Salt Lake City with that church, or any situation that we can think of? Nothing God doesn't allow, and God delights in delivering his people. Amen? That's a good reason to have some joy. He turned the heart of the king unto them. Nothing else could have done that. To strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. I forgot the name of the church. It was in New York, and they didn't have a lot of money, and they were trying to do an improvement to their parking lot, and the county came to them and said, hey, you know what? We have a bus station right next to your church. We really would like to have some more parking during the week when you're not using your parking lot. They said, if you'll let us, we'll repave your parking lot so we can park cars there during the week. Yeah, amen. There's a camp in Colorado. I do know this story much better. It's a camp in Colorado, and they needed a road to the camp. And the camp was located in a valley. There were mountains all around it, and all they had was a real bad dirt road. When it rained, they couldn't go up and down the road. And one day, the camp director, I think it's the camp Julia worked at, if I'm not mistaken, the camp director looks up, and they were using a bulldozer to build a fire line. And they lost control of the bulldozer, and the bulldozer rolled down the hill onto their property. And the company that owned the bulldozer came to the church, and they said, hey, we're really sorry we knocked down all these trees. Could we build you a road to make up for it? Yeah, amen. Folks, we have a God that can do that kind of thing. That gives you joy, amen. And you know what we do? We see a problem. We get sad about it, and we get discouraged. We wonder what we're going to do, and we bump around. And, you know, what's wrong with just going to God and saying, Lord, help? Amen? Can he do that? Sure he can. And so he used the enemy and the king to strengthen their hands in the work, actually gave them provision for it. so they could build the house of God. And then don't miss those last three words in verse 22, and we're going to be done. He says, the God of Israel. But you see, he's the God of Vision Baptist Church. And he's the God of Rosendo Mendez. And he's the God of Greg Dahlman and Mike Jansen. And amen? He's our God. Who do the heathen people have for a God? Well, they've got some demons that they worship, and they've got some fictional gods that they worship. Folks, we have a real God. And he's our God. Ever just stop and think? You ought to have some joy because you've got a God that's real. And you've seen what he's done in your life. If it wasn't for him, none of us would be here. If it wasn't for him, this church wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. It's all because of God. Adar. The Jews still to this day say, when Adar comes, joy is increased. But I think the way to say it would be this. When Christ comes, joy is increased. Amen? And Adar, interestingly enough, in our calendar, it would not be the same. But in their calendar, it was the last month of the year. The last month of the year for us is December. Isn't it a joyous month? Why? Because of Christmas? Why? Because we remember the birth of Christ? Amen? It's just a time of joy. They looked back and they just said, oh, I know what happened in the month Adar. That's when they finished building the temple. That's when they got to recognize the results of what God did for them. Joy. You ought to have some joy in your life. Amen? If you need some joy, I know where to find it. It says right there in verse 22, the Lord had made them joyful. Has God made you joyful? He could. Let's all stand and pray.